Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Tyshar Manethrin, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Will.
And I'm Ajax Kumquat. Sam.
Remember Ajax from our last
episode? Indeed.
Yep. We are here to continue in Crossroads of Twilight, which unfortunately is not a multiverse hopping edition of the Twilight Saga.
But I'm sure that fan fiction exists, and if it doesn't, someone needs to write it.
1,000%.
It does seem like Twilight is fertile ground for fan fiction of the dirty variety, but also maybe just the humorous variety.
Well, I mean, of course, the most famous Twilight fan fiction actually was turned into a movie series, and that was 50 Shades of Grey. No joke. I'm not even joking. Did you know
that? I did not.
100%.
What?
That was... Yeah, like,
you
Google
just
it.
Blew my mind, man.
50 Shades of Grey was started as Twilight fan fiction.
That's excellent. My wife purchased that the first book, and did not read it after I read a few passages out loud.
The Honest trailer for them is so funny because it has actual excerpts from the book.
Excellent.
In it, and... It just, I obviously have not read the book. I haven't seen the movies.
Right,
I never will.
Right.
But the excerpts that they had, man, it is just so poorly written.
Epic, man. Yeah, it's some excellence. It's like, it's so bad that it's actually really good in a sense.
Sure.
Like, there is a level of irony there that is, it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm not saying read it, but just Google some Reddit threads and they will pull out the best. Yeah, I'm not even going to elucidate.
Okay, so now that we've had our second bi-weekly discussion of Twilight.
And its multiverse. And,
it is so funny to me that we have willingly brought up Twilight twice, and I think it's just indicative of the episodes that we're
indeed
in right now. Sam is going to handle the summary for us. I believe he's in chapter 15.
Chapter 15, Gathering Darkness. Epic title. Hard skip. It's a hard skip. So we end the Elaine novella for now. Alenia is our perspective person for the first half of this novel. Wow. Ooh, might as well be. Chapter. She is one of these high seat people in Andor. I don't remember or care which house she is. I'm sure it's there. Could look it up. Don't care. She, of course, also wants the Lion Throne, even though she's currently on Aramilla's side in the Siege of Camelin. Her husband, Jared, can I just say that Jared is a little bit unexpected for a fantasy character name, but, you know, okay. Chad, I had to go look it up. Nope, you know, if it just redirects to Chiad in Wheel of Time. Jared signed a pledge of loyalty along with Elaenia to Aramilla because Elaenia wants to... made him, and she wants Aramilla to think that she's on her side. Jared does whatever Alenia says.
She went to Jared. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a good opportunity to make that joke.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad. Yeah. That was a good payoff to this out of universe name. Aramilla is keeping Alenia separated from her beloved jewelry, but dude seems ready to cut through some folks to free her. Alenia doesn't seem too over-worried, though. When she's thinking about how a winter siege isn't going to work and everybody's going to starve in the siege. She also thinks that is the only reason Elaine has gotten this far, and she's irritated that Elaine has the royal palace. All the servants and such meets up with Nain. I should have listened to this. I read it instead. who thinks Alenia is planning to escape. And once in on the plan, Nain threatens to tell Aramilla about Alenia's plans if Alenia doesn't include her in them. Alenia says, "Oh, I'm so scared. Also, if you do, Aramilla might make you play Cat's Cradle with her Terrabonner again." Okay. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm
assuming that's kind of
terrible.
Some kind of euphemism or something.
I think so, but Cat's Cradle is sort of boring, so maybe not. I don't know. Nain doesn't seem to like the idea one way or another. But Alenia wants a signed letter from her pledging allegiance to Alenia before Alenia will let her in on the scheme. You know, it would be annoying to have a name like that's Nain with an E, Nain with an E. You know, that's
Nain. You better pronounce it right, or I'll
play spades
with the man from Kalamazoo.
That sounds delightful.
I'll make you play euchre with the man from Pennsylvania.
That sounds more ominous somehow. Kalamazoo just seems wonderful. The whole deal makes Elenia bold. You know, if she can get one high seat to pledge to her, then maybe others will too. She thinks about the terrible stuff that Morghese did at the end of her reign, like having Elorian flogged. You know, no way anyone wants another Trakand on the throne. If she can get one high seat to pledge, maybe she can get others. So then this guy named Nason rides up. Elenia describes him as a scrawny man. That's just mean. He has scraps of green fur stuck in his white hair, which makes it look like he's been climbing trees. But apparently he's high seat of the most powerful house in Andor, so, you know, got to pay attention.
Wait. So you're bothered by scrawny. Has anybody ever called you scrawny, Sam?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so, but and just it's always interesting to me the things that when people are reading and they're like, hey, he called him short. That's mean.
Yeah. And, fair enough. You know, yeah.
Maybe I'm a little sensitive about that or something.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a fair question. Maybe in like middle school or something.
Interesting. No one what about wants you? Another Trakand on the throne. Yeah. No one has ever called me scrawny. I can tell you that.
I hear
you. Oh man, no. More husky. Which, by the way, why did they put like little boys' clothes in a size called husky?
Like, that's a good question.
Like, it's like you're immediately like trying to give the little boy a complex.
Shame them a little bit. Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, you're gonna have to wear husky.
He's a little husky. Yeah. And. Yeah, it's just such a...
It's like there should be some other descriptor here that's more neutral. But no, we settled on husky.
By the way, it occurs to me that the Weed of Time podcast, which is a real podcast, if you don't know. Yeah, it's some Canadian dudes, I think.
Okay.
Who I think just smoke a bunch of weed and talk about Wheel of Time.
Fair enough.
They probably have a lot of fun with high seats. How high are they?
Right.
Except I kind of gave him a surfer dude more. It'd probably be more like, oh, how high are they? Eh? I don't know. I've never listened to it. I apologize to the fine people on that podcast.
I was just thinking the other day, if we hadn't settled on Tysharm and Etherin, like something like a pod of daggers maybe or something could have worked. You know, I'm going to say something about marijuana for a moment.
Okay.
I'm not making any moralizations, but it just is a general warning. If you live in a state that has legal CBD specifically, not weed, CBD, and they begin to sell a substance called Delta 8. Delta 8 is not CBD, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it much higher THC or something?
Well, CBD has you know, trace amounts of THC in it. Delta 8, I just did not do my research. I did not understand. It is a CBD that is like chemically changed to be almost the same as THC, so it's not synthetic THC, which the guy who invented synthetic THC said, if you smoke this, you're an idiot. Literally, he said that. But this is something else. It's supposed to be like someone has described it as a diet high. I don't know what that is, but I'm just going to say, ladies and gentlemen, that is not at all what that substance is.
That does not sound like that would be a good time.
No, it is not. At least for me. You know, maybe for some people it is, but for me, I have learned a very definite lesson. CBD is fine. You know, if you're a partaker of weed and you live in a state where it's legal, more power to you. I'm just going to say, for me, Delta 8 is not the... Not the cat's meow. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And if you're underage or if it's legal, don't do it, kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true also. And apparently stay away from synthetic THC unless you want to be labeled an idiot.
I did not know that was a thing.
There was another word for it, spice or something.
Melange?
This, maybe, yeah.
The synthetic THC must flow. Sorry.
No, you're good. This is, as we said, this is the reason we get off topic in these episodes for a reason. So this Nason fella says, Elenia, my darling treasure, you make honey seem stale and roses drab. Whoa, Mr. Scrawny. chill out, man. Cool your jets.
Yeah, we got a simp for Elenia here.
Yeah, he says he wants to challenge Elenia's husband for scaring her. But the thought in her head is, if Jared kills this old dude, it will ruin everything. Exact quote. you need to take a look at your priorities, ma'am. But she responds with, how could I love a man with blood on his hands? He says, I didn't know you were so sensitive. Fine, your husband can live. That was all a very strange interaction between right. some seemingly terrible people. But then Aramilla and her entourage show up. And of course, every time I see the name Aramilla, I think Camilla from, you know, the British royalty. Anyway, just picturing Camilla from The Crown, from the show.
Ah, yes.
RJ describes Aramilla as having a simpering voice. She distracts Nason by sending her maid with him back to his tent to make him tea. Classy. The only thing about that upsets Elenia is the fact that Arlene, this chick, is Aramilla's maid. Okay. She says, you promised to keep that lecherous old crack brain away from me. Well, stay close then, Aramilla says, and invites Elenia to lunch. Elenia pretends to be apologetic and curtsies. Aramilla asks if Elenia minds sharing a tent and a bed with Nayan. Could she know about this plan, the plot to betray her? Then Aramilla says something else dumb about a gilded coach, and Elenia stops worrying again. Yawn! Oh, man. Whew. This is real bad. But luckily, we switch to David Hanlon. Switch away from Elenia, who is headed to the palace in Camelon. Follower, who he kills. Killing was just a thing that had to be done now and then. Nothing to get excited over, he thinks. Like taking out the trash or feeding the dog. I can't figure out who it is other than the fact that he killed a man. Cuts the guy's purse and takes the coins, even though there's no gold or silver among them. No one will think much of it other than seeing a mugging gone too far. But he suspects either Brigitte or an Aes Sedai sent the dude. He knocks on the door at Shian? I can't remember how to pronounce any of these names.
Chianti, fava beans, and...
Chianti, absolutely. House, dagger behind his back, you know, like you do. You ring a doorbell, dagger behind your back. Falian opens the door. Hanlon leers and says, give us a kiss. Falian says, you need to wait. Shiani is upstairs with a visitor. Hanlog stops leering with, since there's no one to see, thinks that Falian is handsome at best, and even that might be stretching the truth. Ooh. When other people watch, he fondles her, gives a few bruises, takes her up to the maid's room and rumples the bedsheets, sits down and exchanges information. Doesn't mind messing with a woman who doesn't want it, but she's Aes Sedai and likely to survive the encounter, so he'd rather not give a reason to have a personal grudge against him. Wow. For a moment there, you almost think this isn't a terrible dude, and then he just brings you right back down to earth again. Hanlon thinks about the fact that he was promised a queen. The fact that Shiane is meeting with some houses might mean that she, Elaine, is likely to die before becoming queen. Then a large man named Morellin walks in and says, you messing with my woman? Shiani lets me have her at night since you aren't. Calls her Fally. Shiani calls for Falian to send Hanlon up. On the way, he grabs Falian's arm and asks what that was about. She ties his throat up with the power and says Morellin is Shiani's way of making sure I understand that Moradin gave me to her. Get me something to put in his drink to make me sleep all night and not mess with me. If you want me to continue to give... You're trying to get me to read that, aren't you? It might have worked.
I'm getting bored, so I'm just writing Fair stuff into Sam's notes on Google
Fair
Docs.
Fair enough. Shion asks if Elaine's baby is his. He says no. Shion calls Hanlon upstairs. Oopsie, she's killed her guest. She asks Hanlon to free some Suldam and Damani and also get the guards away from the food stores because, oh my gosh, who cares? And apparently I'm a poo-poo head. Poopy, poopy, poopy. This does feel like Anchorman or
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty, yeah. Yeah. No, I was thinking of reading the teleprompter, but you're right. It was
yes, Bruce Almighty. Well, I go either way. Yeah.
On to chapter 16, the subject of negotiations. Skim, I guess, but live your life. Hey, it's Egwene from Andorran politicking to Aes Sedai politicking. Goody. maybe someone will stick a sword in someone else, toss a fireball, but let's not hold our breath. You know, it was pretty cool when they started the Siege of Tarvalen, and I suppose. I mean, you know, it's kind of an epic end, sort of, to that book. Maybe some fun stuff will happen. So Egwene's looking out over the River Arryn as it wraps around Tarvalen on both sides. Looks like Tarvalen is sitting in the middle. Oh, excuse me, Tarvalon. Sitting in the middle of a great lake. You almost have to pay an arm and a leg to cover flood insurance. Joke for that. Egwene feels homesick, not for the Two Rivers, but for the White Tower, which is her home now. Gareth Bryn's there, and Egwene thinks that if the Pit of Doom opened in front of him, he would smother his fear and go about doing what needed doing. Where can I get some of that? I need to get to the go to the Gareth Bryn boot camp for controlling my emotions when I get an email I don't like. Bet Gareth Bryn knows how to write a good email.
Man, I'd love to see. That would actually be a pretty funny thing to like different the email responses from different Wheel of Time characters. Like you can hear the one from Nynaeve that is just like scathing and completely,
it's got some italics, got some like red font, some different sizes. You know, emails where like it'll go to caps and then go back to not being in caps. So you know she didn't do it on accident.
Right.
Yeah. Be kind of meandering. I'm specifically thinking about a guy I work with named Jeff. Anyway. The Nynaeve of the shipping world. Anyway. Gareth Bryn says they need to attack now, but Egwene doesn't really want to just totally destroy the White Tower. Bryn makes the point that as long as the harbor remains open, the people in the tower will eat better than the siegers do. Siege people? Sieging? Seizure? Siege?
the seizures?
The seizures. Siege. The word siege looks weird now. He says, more people will die the longer we wait. Egwene says, no, we need the tower coal for Tarmogaidon and to stand against the Ashaman. The tower will be completely destroyed if sisters kill sisters. Egwene has agreed to a council of sisters, a lot of words sister in this chapter. One from each Aja to advise her. I feel like I should put air quotes around that, you know, but we're not on TV. She's angled to have it be sisters who have secretly sworn their fealty directly to her. Anaya, Beonin, Carlin, who cares? I need to change my attitude about this book, you know. Probably annoying, but I just can't. I just can't do it. Delanna asks to speak with Egwene privately. Egwene describes her as having a deep voice for a woman, and also she has nearly silver hair. Egwene is surprised to see her. Delanna supports her in the hall often enough, but it isn't always welcome. She pressures the hall to make a public declaration that Elida is Black Aja, which nobody else wants to do. Delanna and Egwene ride apart, which Shiriam doesn't like. Delanna says, people think you're going to bond Gareth Bryn as your warder. Egwene says, you should ask Swan about that. I've bonded no one. We spend time together because I'm at Imrillin, and he is my general. Delanna tells her there's been talk of negotiations with the tower. Egwene calls the council together and has Delanna tell them. Everybody says, that's crazy. Nobody really believes negotiations are possible. No way, Jose. Beonin says that Seder bomb off in the distance was a warning. Matters have altered. The Forsaken must be moving. Egwene says, shut up. Just shut up. Are you willing to open negotiations with the sitters in the tower? Beonin says, yes. Egwene says, go for it. Just as long as Elida gets kicked to the curb. Then everyone starts shouting and talking at once. Yeah. No fireballs.
What?
Yeah, pretty much. So chapter 17, secrets. You know, just assume skip from here on out. Unless I say otherwise, I won't. Egwene tells everybody to be careful about traveling. If the tower gets the weave, the siege will be ruined because then they could get supplies. She says to keep it as close as the secret about ferrets in the tower. It's a huge advantage. The ferrets, I mean, huge. I really want to know more about the ferrets.
I do too.
I would like to meet a tower ferret.
Yeah.
Egwene goes to where folks are trying to make Quain Diyar. It's not going well, creating lumps instead. One chick named Kyren, I'm thinking Kyren here, is getting better. Nobody other than Egwene, Lyanna, this chick, and Bodwin have enough strength and the power to do it, but Egwene's got a plan. Why did we need a whole chapter for that? I guess because caca poo poo pee pee. Dang it, Will, quit writing in my notes. I'm reading this directly.
I even wrote that for the thing about quit writing in my notes.
It's perfect. Really, it's quite poetic. Chapter 18, a chat with Swan. It's what it says on the tin. We continue talking to folks. Swan this time. She and Halima. Every time I read that, I think Kalima. They're in the Armorland's tent. Egwene sends Kalima out, and her headache comes back, almost as if by magic. Swan went to the tower in Teleron Riad last night, saw a list of replacement sitters for the rebels, several of which had held the Shah less than 70 years. The scandal. Usually it's over 100 to be considered for the job. Swan intends to figure out why. Okay, so come back when you've done that and stop wasting our time. Blah, blah, other reports. Oh, wait, somebody came back from Shadar Logoth and could tell us about that thingy over there.
Oh, yeah.
This could have been in the prologue for Knife of Dreams. I would like to point that out one more time. Chapter 19, surprises. Is there any true surprises, RJ? Because I'm doubting it. Chirium shows up late to announce Egwene to the hall. Seems bothered, distracted. Some sitters wander in after they get started. Akarin says there's a big hole there where Shadar Logoth used to be, and of course there's a ton of Sidene used. Knew that. Thanks. This is not a surprise to us, the readers. Mariah says that even a Lynx circle couldn't stand against Dark Friends of Forsaken using that kind of firepower. We should enlist the help of the Black Tower. This, of course, causes a sensation, as one might expect, particularly from the sitters, in favor of negotiating with the White Tower sitters. Egwene runs her fingernails over a chalkball board like the old dude in Jaws. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be fun. Yeah. Egwene asks everybody to stand, and they do, except for Takima, Magyarna, Fasel, Soroya, and Virilin. Well, that's all true, except Magyarna is a steel fairy Pokemon. One more note. I'm still a poopy face. Not really. I'm going to speak from the heart here and let everyone know that I'm actually a huge fan of this book, as well as the entire Twilight series. Mm-hmm. My favorite color is periwinkle. I just think it's fun to say periwinkle. Will, do you have anything else you'd like to type into these notes for me to read out loud?
Oh, man. You know,
that's like in college when my friend got into my Facebook account and said that I liked the, what was a Jessica Simpson show? Newlyweds, Honeymooners, yeah. Whatever that
yeah.
was.
Newlyweds, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was like a lifetime ago.
It was, back when I used Facebook.
Sorry I didn't interject as much in the latter half. I was trying to find places I could write things into your notes.
There's just not that much to say about these chapters, fellas, ladies, yep. Gentlemen. People, gentle dogs. Hopefully we have some dogs listening to us. We have at least one dog.
Yeah, we've got two more in here. Well, they're at least listening to my end. Fair Especially enough. whenever you're narrating and I'm not speaking as much, like every word I say, they'll look up at me like, yeah. Hey, oh, what's going on?
Especially, why are you sitting here talking?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. That brings us to the end here. I don't know.
We'll call this short. And don't worry, guys. We'll make it up to you sometime in the near
will.
Future.
Hopefully, you have a short commute to work today, and this is get you the whole way.
Yeah. Maybe you hit all the green lights, and there were no accidents. Thanks for listening. As always, you can reach out to us at stuff@tsmpodcast.com or go to that website and fill out our contact form. There's also a donate button there if you want to support what we do. Do that and say things and write in to give us stuff to talk about, because otherwise I'm going to just be writing things on Sam's notes.
Indeed.
For the foreseeable future. So anyway, until next time, Taj Jarman Etherin.